20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. We're almost at the end of another week. It is the Thursday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Jason Perrone of the Pack-A-Day Podcast, Game On Wisconsin, and the Quick Science Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Brettle of Cheesehead TV, Dairyland Express, and the Packers Unrestricted Podcast. Gentlemen, Paul, I guess I should ask, since it's a YouTube-only show now, is it a podcast anymore? Should I be referring to it as just a show?
Nope, YouTube only. It's under my name, Paul Brettle. You can find it there, and you can see my lovely face as I comment on the Packers, everyone.
And let me tell you, for those of you who know, this is an audio only, but we do video so we can see if anybody's teeing up to say anything, and Paul always looks very chiseled and ready to go
for the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Well, that's
very cold today.
Yeah, it's true. He does. Bundled up. He's got the...
It was actually really warm. It was actually pretty warm. It was like mid-40s here, not to jump the gun, but it was beautiful.
And what better way to kick off, since we don't have anything east? We don't have anything east of the United States, then that means, as usual and as always, back in his usual typical form, it's Mark Eckel at the beach. How are we looking out in the Carolinas?
Oh, beautiful. Today was mid-60s. Pretty nice. Wednesday, we tape Wednesday night. Wednesday was mid-60s. Today, Thursday, I may be at the beach. They're saying it's going to be in the 70s, and that's when I head out. When it's in the 70s, it's time to get the beach chair and a couple cold ones and head out toward the ocean.
70 is the magic number for Mark at the beach. All right, and then we go to the Midwest and the Dairyland State of Wisconsin. Paul, you already gave us a little bit of a preview. If it's precipitating, it sounds like it's the wet stuff and not the snowy stuff.
Well, the thing is, it's 45 on Wednesday, but it's going to be in the 20s the next 3 days, like low 20s too. But then Sunday is 46, so might have to pull a Mark Eckel and head to the beach. I'm not sure yet.
45 is your number?
So if anything does fall over the next couple of days, it's all going to melt away by the end of the weekend.
I would hope so. Ish, there's already a ton that was melted the last, just in the last 24 hours.
Having a hard time keeping it on the ground there, I guess. So, well, a cold front moved through midweek in Phoenix, dropped all the way down to 60 degrees on Wednesday. Ooh. But back up to 68 today. Things are looking good. I'm going to get into the 70s and the high 70s by the time the weekend rolls around. So, once again, I can't complain. As I say, I'll send the sunshine and the warmth out to everybody else. This is that time of year that I'm glad that I live out here for sure, especially after the football season's over with. Then it's like, okay, now that there's not as much fun and the cold is more apparent when there's less football to enjoy it with. But our friend out in Canada, Harry from Kamloops, said Thursday we're getting a lot of rain, a real messy driving situation, snow melting, rain. Said every car needs a bath, but there's really no point because you're filthy again by the time you get home because of all the sludge that's on the road. He said you regret buying a white or black vehicle. Anyway, high of 48, low of 36 out in Canada. So winter is obviously still here and lingering on. So, all right, what are we going to talk about?
One thing before we get into our cut and keep thing, I just want to thank everybody, all of our listeners who when we got back together last week, and the response was pretty flattering and overwhelming on social media. People really, they like us three together. Then again, they like Larry, Curly, and Mo too. So,
we got a fair amount.
Nice to hear people say nice things about us.
It was. Yeah, we got a fair amount of good feedback throughout the time that we were on the show. But Mark, I have to say, it was when you came back, everyone really came out of the woodwork and started saying
this is true as well.
How excited they were. So I think it might be a Mark Eckel thing. It's like wherever.
I don't know about that. I think it's a team. There's no I in team.
There's no I in team. Well, this is your third different day of the week, so we could pull numbers and we could see if there's a correlation.
Yeah, I'm like the NFL. I'm going to be every day,
All right. Well, as always, great work done every week by Mark and Paul. And we're going to piggyback off of a piece that Paul wrote. And Paul will have you lead the discussion on it. We're going to talk about some players that the Packers have some decisions to make on, and whether or not they may keep the player, cut the player, or release the player. So I'll turn it over to you to lead that discussion.
Yeah, so these are eight separate articles over at Dairyland Express where you can find them. And I went through the big potential cap casualties that the Packers could have this offseason, of course, in their effort to create cap space. In the article specifically, I took a look at why Green Bay would keep that player, why they would move on from that player, and then made my prediction. So for today's episode, we are going to go through each of those players and share our thoughts on what our prediction is, what we think the Green Bay Packers are going to do. So let's just start off with a difficult one. All right. Well, we'll see if you guys think it's difficult or not. Dean Lowry. So Dean Lowry comes with a cap hit in 2022 of just over $8 million, $8.07 million. If the Green Bay Packers choose to move on from him, they'll save $4.08 million. So Mark Eckel, and if you just think that the Packers will keep them and extend them, keep them, restructure them, of course, share that info as well. But what do you think the Green Bay Packers are going to do this offseason with Mean Dean Lowry?
Keep him. I said everyone wanted him gone last year, and they didn't. Obviously, they kept him, and I thought he had one of his better years last year. I would work it out. Is this the final year of his deal?
Yep.
Yeah, I would work on an extension that keeps him around for a couple more years and lowers that $8 million cap hit to, you know, about four. So you're still saving the $4 million that you need to get under the cap. But add a couple years. Dean Lowry, listen, he's never going to go to a Pro Bowl, which I don't know if there'll be a Pro Bowl after next year. But he's not that kind of player, but he's a good, solid. Listen, you could do a lot worse than Dean Lowry. The Packers have done a lot worse than Dean Lowry. And until they get someone, if you get rid of Dean Lowry, you got Kenny Clark and a bunch of nothing. I know T.J. Slayton might come on and be good. We don't know yet. He's had his moments, but he's a fifth-round pick, that second-year guy. Now, you know, we all thought Kingsley Kiki was going to be something. Well, if he is, he's going to be it for the Houston Texans. So Lowry has proven to be a reliable, solid player. And they're not as easy to find as you think, because we know the Packers, especially at that position, have swung and missed more than a couple times. So I'm keeping Dean Lowry.
How about you, Jason?
So if we're reading the tea leaves, as Paul likes to say, the Packers moving on from Kingsley Keke, and that might not have been a decision that they wanted to make, they had to make, but that leaves the defensive line position pretty thin and thin on experience as well. I'm not intrigued at all by Tyler Lancaster and what he's going to do in this defense. And so with T.J. Slayton, like Mark said, being kind of a question mark and young, I think you need some security. Now, I wouldn't keep Lowry unless there's an extension being done and you're adding at least one or two more years so you can spread out that cap hit, because they've got to save some money. I wouldn't want him back at the $8 million price tag, but from a standpoint of him playing and his value to the team, can't let him go, because you need help up front. And as we know, the draft is, you never know what's going to happen with the draft. And if the Packers are going to get somebody impactful enough, and even if they do draft somebody, they don't know if they have the player until he gets into camp. So I say keep Dean Lowry. Dean Lowry's a keep for me.
So we all agree on that one, and you guys hit on my big points. One of the biggest one is the depth. Currently under contract for this year, it's Clark, Lowry, Slayton, and Heflin. So a fifth-round second-year player and a second-year UDFA if they were to move on from Lowry. And I think Dean's one of those players who is held in much higher regard within Lambeau Field among the coaching staff, management, than maybe the perception on the outside, because he does do a lot of that dirty work, eating up space, occupying double teams. So I agree. I think they are going to bring Dean Lowry back and they're going to extend him. And one important thing to keep in mind, on several contracts last year, they added voided years as a way to try to spread out cap space. They already did that with Dean, so he already has voided years on his contract at the moment. So that's why I think as well an extension is the likely route as a way to lower that cap hit, because I don't think he's going to play on that $8 million cap hit that he has this year. All right.
Next. About Lowry too. One more thing about Lowry. He plays. He doesn't miss games. You know, that whole thing about durability is the most important ability. Well, the guy plays every week. He misses his own. I mean, I could look it up. He's missed a handful of games in his career. He's not a guy that gets hurt either, which is very important, obviously.
And as a pass rusher, he's coming off easily his most productive season as a player in terms of pressures and sacks as well. So next up, we'll move on to big dog, Mercedes Lewis. This is Lewis signed a couple one-year deals in a row, but last year he signed a two-year deal. So 2022 is the final year of that. He comes with a $4.52 million cap hit if Green Bay keeps him as is. If they move on from him, they save $2.4 million. And, of course, the added wrinkle with Mercedes Lewis is that retirement might be in the cards. And he, along with someone else that we'll get to here shortly, might be his future might be tied to what a certain quarterback does as well. So, Jason, take us away on Mercedes Lewis. What do you think the Packers are thinking in regards to his future with the team?
So it's similar rationale with him as it was for with Lowry for me in terms of looking at the position group right now. Mercedes Lewis isn't going to run down the seam and beat anybody and split defenders and be Keith Jackson again, but or ever if he ever was that. But he's a valuable piece. If he can play at a small cap number like that, with the tight end group being as thin as it is, Tonyan's going to start the season on PUP most likely. Josiah DeGuara's got room to grow. And again, you're not looking at Mercedes to be your workhorse tight end. They still need to address the position and bring in some youth and get a pass catcher. But I just think if he can play and he's willing to play, you bring him in. He's just too valuable from a locker room standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from a chemistry standpoint. If that quarterback, I'm not sure who you're referring to, Paul, happens to decide that they want to or are going to return to the Packers, then that elevates 89 and what he can do. And he did make some big catches. I mean, he had some big catches and runs in the playoffs and made some big plays. See, it seems like Matt LaFleur finally figured out how to integrate him and get a little bit more out of him. But at that small number, I would say you absolutely keep Mercedes Lewis. There isn't really any reason to let him go at this point.
About you, Mark?
Yeah, there is reasons. I'm going to give you the reasons to let him go. He's going to be, what's he, 38? He'll be 38 when the season starts, or 39. It's time. I mean, in a perfect world, like Paul said, he retires and you make him the assistant, whatever, coach. Keep him around. Yeah, you're great. He's great in the locker room. He's great with the young guys. That's good. That's what coaches are for, to help the young guys. And he can still block a little bit. He's not really a threat. And here's a great stat that I have on Mercedes Lewis. He had not fumbled since 2013. All right. And in his first 58 games as a Packer, he had no fumbles. He had two in his last six games, including a very crucial one in the loss to San Francisco. Yep. When guys start to fumble, a guy that never fumbles starts to fumble, and he's 38 years old. It's time. I mean, and again, if the Packers weren't under this desperate cap situation, sure, bring them back. Maybe, why not, see what happens. But every $2 million they save is money that can go to keeping Roswell Douglas or Campbell or Adams or MVS or guys that aren't 38. You know, so I'm saying thank you for everything you've done, Mercedes. Listen, if no one's going to sign him. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to sign a 38-year-old. So if he doesn't want to retire and you get desperate, maybe some cap room, you can always bring him back. But I would say to him, listen, we're letting you go. But if you want to be part of this organization, we'd love to have you in some capacity. But no, I can't keep him on the books anymore.
So my response to this was, well, I don't know that I do, because I think I cheated a little bit. I think if Rodgers is back, I do think Mercedes Lewis is back. I think Lewis will want to make another run at it. We know their relationship is very close. The tight ends that they have, they're not as good of blockers as Lewis. I'm not saying that, but Josiah DeGuara, Tyler Davis, Dominic Daphne, they can hold their own in that category. So it's not as if Green Bay is going to be out of luck. And I know PFF grades are not the be-all, end-all by any means, but all three of those players were top 17 in run-blocking grade among tight ends this past season. So worth noting. And then, Mark, as you mentioned, age. As they say in football, it's better to move on from a player a year too early than a year too late. And this could be one of those opportunities as well, as you had alluded to. So I know I cheated a little bit there, but that's just honestly how I think it's going to play out. Next up is Preston Smith. So Preston Smith, coming off a very, very good season. He was 10th in pressures among edge rushers this season. I had nine and a half sacks, and he comes with a cap hit of $19.72 million. Spoiler alert, he's not playing on this current contract. He's either going to be let go or they're going to likely extend him. But Preston Smith comes with a cap hit of $19.72 million. If Green Bay chooses to move on from him, they will save about $12.5 million in doing so. So, Jason, what do you think happens with Preston Smith?
Too valuable to have a veteran pass rusher who's productive. So I think they'll figure the money out, and it'll make sense there. And whether the Packers add one early in the draft or not, again, you don't know how impactful that is going to be in this decision to keep Preston Smith. Is probably going to have to get made before the draft anyway. So I would say keep. He's an easy keep. I think the Packers will figure out the money, because if you're talking about the Smiths and the very strong possibility that you're not going to be able to keep both of them, to me, it just seems more realistic that Preston is the one that stays in Green Bay. And again, like you said, Paul, he had a very productive 2021 season. He seems dedicated to the cause of realizing, hey, we got to try to do everything we can to win now. And while we've got some key positions locked down, and before those key positions move into flux.
How about you, Mark? You feel the same or differently?
I feel the same, and it's funny. If we were having this debate a year ago,
yeah, no kidding.
I would have said, you know, no, you keep Zadarius and do whatever you can and extend him, and I'm sure we'll get to him later. And Preston would be the guy that I'd let go, coming off of 2020, that he was an average player in 2020. He stepped it back up in 2021. And again, I'm going to go back to what I said about Dean Lowry too. The guy plays. He missed one game in like whatever many years, and he probably could have played that week if he had to. You know, I think that was the Packers being you know, on the side of caution. He's not going to play at night, but whatever that $19 million number is. But yeah, extend him simply because he's healthier. He's healthy. He's, you know, you have Rashawn Gary and him, as that's pretty good. Now they're going to have to add a third guy, whether it's through the draft or maybe bringing back a Whitney Merciless on a 1 year minimum kind of deal, whatever they decide there. But no, you can't let both of them go. I think Preston's the guy that Preston's also pretty good against the run, which gets underlooked. You know, people always talk about the edge rushers and how many sacks they get. Well, part of their job is setting the edge, and he sets a pretty good edge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with you guys as well. The edge rusher position in general is just too important of a one. And as good as Rashawn Gary has become, he can't do it on his own. I mean, even last year with Gary and Preston both being two of the more productive edge rushers in football, when those two weren't on the field, there was a very, very noticeable difference when Garvin and Tepa were. And now if both Smiths are gone and you're left with Gary, that is just a huge, huge hole. And you put yourself in a hole going into the draft where you basically have to take an edge rusher with that 28th overall pick. And I know it's a good class for that, but who knows how the board's going to fall at that point. So that's just too important of a position to leave Gary and a bunch of unknowns at. So I agree. They keep Preston. I think they extend him. And the way I rounded out this article about Preston was looking at it this way. I would rather have Preston and save $7 million in cap space. Ken Ingles, by a friend of the show, salary cap guru on Twitter, by his estimation, his projections, he has Preston extension saving Green Bay $6 to $8 million in cap space this season. So I'd rather have Preston and save $7 million than not have Preston and save $12.5 million in cap space. So that's how I looked at it.
By the way, speaking of Ken, why don't the Packers hire him?
Terrific work.
I mean, Russ Ball could use an assist, you know, somebody to help him out a little bit, right? Like, he'd be perfect. I mean, the guy's incredible with what he knows, and he looked in the head. I mean, I used to think I was, as a writer, when I covered the Eagles all the time, like, I thought I knew more about the cap than most of the other writers, not all of them. But my God, he makes me look like I don't know anything.
Yeah, Ken does tremendous work. If you're on Twitter, make sure to follow Ken for all your Packers salary cap stuff. And he's always very kind in answering my questions as well, as I try to educate myself on this stuff, because there's a mountain of it. All right, next up is Randall Cobb. Cobb comes with a $9.53 million cap hit in 2022. He, with the Packers last season, he wasn't targeted heavily. I think he averaged just over 3 targets per game in his 12 games, and of course had just one in the playoffs. But where he was, where he did make his impact, and again, it's that relationship with Rodgers, was on third downs as well as in the red zone. He was very effective on those parts of the field in those higher leverage situations. But he comes with a $9.53 million cap hit if he stays on the roster under his current deal. If Green Bay moves on from him, the cap hit or the cap savings is $6.74 million. So a pretty big chunk there that they could save by moving on from Randall Cobb. So, Mark, what do you think happens with Randall?
Yeah, moving on. I love the guy. Great career. Almost a dream scenario last year, him coming back. And it looked like, you know, it would have been a Hollywood ending, right? I mean, it, you know, he comes back and they go to the Super Bowl. But it didn't turn out that way. And again, I'm going to bring up what I'm bringing up with every guy so far, durability. I mean, he'll be 32 in August, which for a wide receiver is getting old. It's pretty old for a wide receiver, especially a guy that relies on quickness. And, you know, he's not a big guy. He's, you know, he's smaller by Packer wide receiver terms. And he did miss the last five games of the regular season with that core injury. He came back for the playoffs, but he really didn't come back for the playoffs because he was ineffective. You could see he was still bothered by the injury. I don't even believe he was targeted in that game. I know it's going to hurt some people's feelings, but, you know, he might, and again, this could be a choice where he says, I'm done, which would be nice. I'd rather that than have to cut a guy like that. But yeah, I'm saving $6.7 million. And then again, see what happens. If you can get him back at a lot lower rate for a one year, whatever deal, maybe you do that. But if I can save $6.7 million on a team that desperately needs to save money, I think that's an easy one.
The new year is a great time to focus on what's important to you. Whether it's saving money by ordering less takeout, learning to cook, or prioritizing your wellness, HelloFresh is here to help you with endless options to make cooking at home simple and enjoyable. Personally, I'm really trying to work on my weight this year, and when I found out that HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients right to my door, including farm-fresh produce that arrives within a week, I was all in. Skip the trips to the grocery store, saving you long wait times and ensuring you don't waste your money on excess food, and sign up for HelloFresh instead. HelloFresh has helped me eat fresher food with better portion control and has helped me live a healthier lifestyle. I highly recommend the teriyaki chicken tenders, by the way. So go to HelloFresh.com/Packaday16 and use code Packaday16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/Packaday16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. Remember to use code Packaday16. That's HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? We've all struggled with mental health in different ways, especially during a pandemic, and I'm certainly no different. Keeping myself centered mentally is such a huge part of my overall health goals, and that's where BetterHelp has helped me. BetterHelp has the ability to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas, and the service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist, plus you'll get timely and thoughtful responses. You can even schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't have to ever sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed, and it's more affordable than traditional offline therapy. Plus, financial aid is available if needed. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/packaday. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P, and join the over 2 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And of course, we have a special offer for Packaday listeners, as you can get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/packaday.
Jason?
Yeah, I think that the price tag and the age, like Mark said, all those things put together, it's just receivers too easy of a position to load and stack up with new talent. I think the Randall Cobb experiment was get it done this year or it's not going to happen. He got injured, the core injury, and I know he came back and he was able to play, but it wasn't. He's only, like you said, he's only getting older. And so I think it's a short conversation for me. And if Cobb ends up coming back, it's going to end up being break glass in case of emergency situation late in the summer, and that means that something else went astray or awry as far as the Packers and building for that position and that talent. So he's a cut for me.
Yeah, I agree as well, for the reasons you mentioned. Age, missed the last five games of the season. And over those five games, the Packers offense averaged 33.4 points per game. So it's not like they were missing a beat by any means. And also, let's not forget about Amari Rodgers. I know he had a rough showing as a return man, but he saw very, very limited action on offense. And his comp coming out of Clemson was Randall Cobb. The Packers traded up for him in the third round. They want to see what they have in him. And again, I think, and with that cap savings as well, almost $7 million, like that could be Devondre Campbell. That's what could be bringing back Devondre Campbell versus Randall Cobb. That's a large chunk of cap savings that they can have. So I agree. Again, I'll ask the question, for if Rodgers is back, does that mean Cobb's back? And in that, I mean, you know, maybe they still cut him to get the savings. And as you mentioned, Mark, maybe he comes back on like a $2 million deal, something like that. So I guess in that regard, depending what Rodgers does because of the relationship, I mean, Cobb is a Packer, was a Packer because of Aaron Rodgers. I wouldn't totally rule it out that if he wants to keep playing, he's not going to be on the team, but there's no way it's going to be on this current contract.
That's kind of what I meant by hurting some people's feelings.
I didn't read the tea leaves on that one.
I didn't mean my feelings or Jason's feelings. I meant number 12's feelings. But listen, you know, they gave the quarterback what he wanted this year, and it didn't work, right? I mean, it worked during the regular season, but is that what we're about, being the best team in a regular season, or are we about winning a Super Bowl? So it's time. The front office has to do what's right for the Green Bay Packers, not what's right for their quarterback.
Right, very true. All right, next up, Mason Crosby. So Crosby is coming off a down season. He missed 9 field goal attempts, and of course, not all of that's on him. The blocking by the field goal unit was very, very suspect at times. And I can only imagine as a kicker, you know, because kicker is very much a between the ears type of position, you know, stepping up behind a 45 yarder in December, not knowing, you know, if you're the right side of your field goal unit's going to hold up. I can imagine that was a factor as well. To what degree, I do not know. But it was a down year for Crosby. He missed where he particularly struggled was 40 plus yards. And also, he on kickoffs, it's not like he was kicking the ball through the end zone a lot either. I found these numbers from Pro Football Focus. Opposing teams returned almost 55% of Crosby's kick return attempts, which was the fourth most in football. He had just 43 touchbacks, which was the seventh fewest. And for a team that really struggled on kick return coverage, you know, being able to boot the ball through the end zone or, you know, deep into the end zone where it would have been not returnable would have been very, very helpful. So Crosby, I believe, is going to be 38 years old. And comes with a $4.7 million cap hit if Green Bay keeps him, but they save almost $2.4 million if they move on from him. Crosby has been with the Packers, I believe, since 2007. He is an absolute no-doubter future Packers Hall of Famer. Jason, what do you think happens with Mason Crosby?
Well, they've had another kicker around for a long time, so they've already got somebody around that they like. It's tough because you almost wonder how much, and we don't know, of the special teams problems are going to get helped by, not be solved by, but get helped by a new coach and a new coordinator. So does that help? But stuck in my mind, Paul, is exactly what you said, is Crosby's ability to get the ball into the end zone. And if he physically can't do it anymore or can't do it on a consistent basis, you really have to take that into consideration because, again, Bisaccia may come in and the Packers' special teams may not necessarily be all that great. We have to remember the player portion of the equation as much as the coach. So for me, it's a tough thing to do. It's just like when we have the conversations about moving on from, we talked about Aaron Rodgers, we talked about moving on from Jordy Nelson a couple of years ago. It's a difficult thing and there's never a good time in our hearts to do it, but that's not where decisions are made when it comes to the business of football and the game. And so, yeah, you're giving up some experience. You're giving up a very valuable experience at Lambeau Field and in the playoffs. And a guy who's made some really clutch kicks. And over the course of history, he's bounced back from a really bad 2012, ended up being really good from that point forward. You almost give him the benefit of the doubt this last year as far as the accuracy and missing some of those other kicks, right? Except for, I don't know, the Cincinnati game was a disaster, even though they ended up winning that one. But for me, I think this is time, and these are pennies on the dollar, really, when we're talking about the scope of the salary cap. But if you're looking for an excuse as another reason as to why you do it, there's a little bit of savings to be had there, and eventually the Packers do need to figure something out. He just doesn't have the leg to get it in the end zone anymore, and so I think it's time to move on. I'm moving on from Mason Crosby.
Mark?
Yeah, I agree with everything Jason said there. That he is going to be in a Packer Hall of Fame, without a doubt. He's the greatest kicker in Packer history. And then Packers have had some good kickers, so that's not saying like, oh, well, before, you know, Chris Jackie was very good. Ryan Longwell was very good. But this guy's the best. But he's getting older. I mean, you know, Father Time's undefeated. Well, no, he lost to Brady. But other than that, it's time. It's time to move on. They did keep a kicker around, J.J. Molson. They obviously like a little bit, but I wouldn't just hand the job to J.J. Molson either. He'd be the, you know, favorite, but I might spend one of my, you know, Packers are going to probably have some, they have at least two seventh round picks, right? Their own, and they got Houston's, and they might get a comp seventh. I might spend a seventh round pick on a kicker. I haven't checked the kickers in college, but spend a seventh round pick on him and let him and Molson battle it out in camp. And again, it's like anything else, when you let a veteran go and you're relying on a rookie, there's going to be, you know, some inexperience, but that's a lot of misses, and right, they weren't all his fault, but they're on his, you know, they were still misses, and the kickoffs, they were his fault. You can't blame the blocking or the snap or the hold on a kickoff, right? It's just him kicking the ball, and listen, the guy's had him, like I said, greatest kicker in Packers history, but it's time.
Yep, I agree with you guys as well for all the reasons you mentioned, and I also expect there to certainly be a kicker competition this summer. As you guys mentioned, Molson's been on the practice squad for almost two seasons now. They obviously like something about him, but he also has no career regular season field goal attempts either. So that'll be, if they move on from Crosby, that'll be a certain competition this summer. Next up is Adrian Amos, Mr. Reliable. He comes with a cap hit in 2022 on his current deal, which is the final year of just under $12 million. If the Packers move on from him, they save $4.65 million in cap space. I've been letting you guys go first, but I'm just going to say here, and you'll know where I land on this. In these articles, I tried to take a very balanced approach of why would Green Bay keep this person? Why would Green Bay move on from this person? When it came to why Green Bay would move on from Adrian Amos, I had nothing other than the 4.65 million. Other than the financial savings that comes from moving on for him, I could not think of anything from his reliability, his consistency, being one of the best safeties in football. And on top of that, the safety depth of this team is incredibly thin. I mean, if Amos is gone, it's Darnell Savage, Henry Black, Sean Davis, Innis Gaines, and Savage is coming off a down season. So, well, I'll see what you guys think, but I really could not find a reason, a real football reason, to move on from Adrian Amos. How about you, Mark?
Why is he on the list? I was shocked when you said his name. I don't know if you guys saw me, but I looked at you like, Adrian Amos? No, you can't cut Adrian Amos. I think he's one of the most, in my opinion, on that defense. Kenny Clark's, I've always said, is the most valuable. Because he just does so many good things, and you notice the difference when he's not out there. I guess I'd put Rashawn Gary and Alexander ahead of Amos, but he's definitely top four or five players on that deep. He's just, like you said, reliable, plays every week, makes plays. What a great free agent signing that was. That whole class turned out to be pretty good. Za'Darius, Preston, Turner, and Amos. I mean, that was a heck of a free agency class. And yeah, it's hard for me to say good things about Penn State guys, but that was a great pickup. How many years does he have left on that deal?
Just 22.
He has 4 years and stuff or whatever.
Yeah, they should extend him.
Yeah, I'm extending him, and I'm going to lower that cap number a little bit, but not even, maybe not that, to save $4 million, no, that would be insane if they cut him. No, you keep him, extend him, and he retires as a Green Bay Packer whenever that time is.
Mm-hmm. Jason,
guess it's a good thing you guys let me go last here. So as far as that whole situation goes with Adrian Amos, Paul, you mentioned the cap savings, right? And mm-hmm. all I'm going to say about that, in a season where the Packers absolutely need to find dollars and cap space, is that you absolutely do not cut Adrian Amos. He might be, we have more names on this list, but he may possibly be the most obvious and easy, absolutely keep on that entire list for all the reasons that you guys just listed there. He's way too valuable on that defense, and that defense changes and not for the better if he's not on this roster. So that was, when Mark asked, why did you put him on the list? I was like, that was a keep us honest, that entry on the list, just to
make sure we're paying attention.
Exactly. Make sure we're paying attention and just keep us honest there. But he's been so phenomenal and fantastic. And I think it was in the, might have been the game against the Rams. He had that critical fourth down stop. He makes the tackle all by himself in a really big spot in a really big game there. Just makes plays. You absolutely can't let that go. The safety position is, if you do let him go, which the Packers won't, and we're saying not to also, Paul, the other trickle down there too is that it's going to impact your corners and how good they can be because they don't have as good of talent behind them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know the Packers are in a cap crunch, but if they desperately need $4.6 million, go find it elsewhere, Goody. All right.
Or save it by extending them.
absolutely accomplishes the same thing, and you get to keep Amos in the green and yellow for the foreseeable future. All right, two more to go. Okay. Za'Darius Smith, speaking of tea leaves, Za'Darius Smith comes with a $27.6 million cap hit this season. $27.6 million. I believe that's the second largest on the team behind Aaron Rodgers. His cap savings, if they cut him, is $15.3 million. Again, this is the second biggest cap saving move Green Bay can make outside of either extending Aaron Rodgers or trading Aaron Rodgers. And as I'm sure you guys know or remember, he posted following the San Francisco loss on Instagram what very much seemed like a goodbye. It wasn't, again, him straight out saying goodbye, but it certainly had that vibe to it. We'll see whether or not that happens. But he missed a majority of this past season, and with the play of Gary, with the play of Preston, Green Bay had shown that with those two, again, not from a depth perspective, but from the top two guys, that they could absorb his absence. And he's coming off two incredible years, 164 pressures in two seasons with Green Bay, 32 sacks, according to Pro Football Focus. So, Jason, Za'Darius Smith, do they restructure his contract? Again, this is the final year of his deal. That would take voided years. Do they extend him, or do they move on for him for $15.3 million in savings?
They're moving on. The Packers are moving on from Za'Darius Smith. The back injury, this is where I feel like I it's easy for me to sit here in the safety and comfort of my living room and say, do this, do that, because I'm not the one that's out there playing and making it sound like, oh, it's as simple as, oh, he's injured, let him go. He did a lot for this team. You mentioned it, Paul. He's been a very productive member of this team, and I think he's still got football left in him, but this is the conversation here is there has to be a business angle to it. And you said it right away, which is this is the second biggest cap saving move the Packers can make. And what do they need right now? They need cap savings. They got to get under the cap. So they're not going to keep Za'Darius. He seems to take a lot of these slights personally, getting snubbed for the Pro Bowl, not being voted team captain. So we don't know if the team already feels like, look, he's going to be a lot to manage and a lot to deal with. Not that they don't have other personalities that they haven't had to deal with in the past. But at the cap number, when you mention his cap number, Paul, the first thing that I think of, and I've heard this said somewhere else before, and whoever said it, take all the credit you want for it. But when he's making that kind of money, if he doesn't throw the football, he can't be making that kind of money. So it's real simple for me. You got to cut Za'Darius Smith and move on. And unless the market is just absolutely dry on a guy like that who's got potential and there isn't one crazy GM, and we know there's plenty of crazy GMs in the NFL who aren't willing to overpay for his talent, I don't think it's very likely that he's back in Green Bay.
What are your thoughts, Mark?
I agree. You have to let go. And again, like I said, when we talk about Preston, a year ago, I would have said, no way you can't let Za'Darius Smith, because we didn't know Gary had shown a little bit of improvement, but he really broke out last year. So, a year ago, I would have said, you're great. No, do whatever you can, extend him, restructure, do. You can't let Za'Darius Smith go, because Preston was coming off an average at best year. Gary was still coming on. But the team went he played the opener, played 17 snaps in the opener, and then he didn't come back to the playoff game. But the Packers went 13-2 without him. So they showed they could win. I mean, it's not like they're in trouble without Za'Darius Smith. They went 13-2. So you can win without Za'Darius Smith, obviously. And nothing against him. I'm not saying he's a reason, but you can save if you can save $15 million with a guy that really didn't help you at all this year, you have to do it. It's pretty cut. It's hard to believe we're saying this a year later, but that's the easiest one of all the guys that we've talked about. I think that's the easiest one.
Back
injuries are bad. I mean, he might come back with another team next year and play, start the season and be, but that back could come up, can flare up again in the middle of the season, and he misses 8 games. Who knows? I mean, back injuries are just very tricky. And he's not a kid anymore either.
Mm-hmm. I made that point in my article as well. I mean, we don't know what the future holds for Za'Darius and his health with his back, and where he may or may not end up. But I do certainly think that that's something to at least needs to be noted when discussing his future with Green Bay. He's 30 years old, coming off a back injury, and we've seen not just in football but across all sports where those injuries can continue to flare up and certainly affect a player's playing time. So if Za'Darius was the easiest decision outside of Adrian Amos, of course, for me anyways, Billy Turner was the most difficult, because you could go through the gamut of options, restructure, extend, cut, trade, and I wouldn't be surprised by any of those outcomes. So Turner was the Packers, or has been the Packers' right tackle the last two seasons, really provided stability there. He performed well. Rodgers called him the unsung hero along the offensive line, mentioned early in the season that he should be a Pro Bowler with his play last season. So Mark, take us away here. And I guess I'll mention the cap hit. So
yeah,
Turner's cap hit this season, 2022, is the last year of his deals, $9.6 million. If Green Bay moves on from him, they save $3.6 million. So, Mark, what do you think Green Bay does with Turner?
I'm keeping him. $3.6 isn't that big. I mean, for your starting right tackle, that's not as big a savings. I would only do it if I had to. I mean, if I did cut the guys that I've already said I would cut and restructured some guys and I still need it, $3.6 million, then you got to do what you got to do. But I think there's other ways of finding that $3.6 million. And I know they have other options. But one of those other options is Elgton Jenkins, right? I think we've said this before during our podcast that we think the future for Elgton Jenkins is going to be a tackle. But now we don't know how long he's going to be out. He's definitely not going to be ready opening day. So you don't have, that's not one of your options from the start of the season. And who knows how long he's going to be out with the, David Bakhtiari missed an entire season with an ACL. Yosh Niemann's another option that I'm sure a lot of people are talking about. Just put him at right tackle. Well, it's easy to say, except he's never played right tackle. And as much as we like Niemann this year, and I think we all three of us were kind of impressed with what he did, Packers may not be as impressed as we are because they didn't play him in a playoff game. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so something was up there. I think, again, unless you have to, for whatever unknown reasons, I'm doing what I... Or I like you threw a third option in there that we didn't mention anybody else is trade. If I can get now, if I do like Niemann and I think Jenkins is coming back sooner than later, and I can get something good in return for Billy Turner, I gotta think about it. But I don't think I just cut Billy Turner. Trade? Okay, you have my attention. But in the grand scheme of things, I'd rather just keep him and put him at right tackle and know that I'm pretty good at right tackle.
How about you, Jason? Is this a tough one in your mind, or is it more cut and dry?
It's easy. Since Elton Jenkins got hurt, it becomes easy. You keep Billy Turner because his depth is very important. And for the second year in a row, woulda, coulda, shoulda. The Packers could do this, could do that, might do that, might have this if David Bakhtiari and Elton Jenkins were both healthy, but they're not. We didn't have David Bakhtiari till the end of this past season. I'm not going to have Elton Jenkins back until the end of this next season. So anybody that's proven that they can play and are really good at their position, which Billy Turner has over two seasons at right tackle. Now, he got moved to left tackle in the playoff game. That's not why they lost. I think it was much, much less of a factor than last year not having Bakhtiari at all against the Bucs. But he's just too good and too valuable, and you leave the offensive line hanging out there. Mark makes a really good point. We love to do this. We love to plug guys in at other positions because they're a good player at the position they play. And so, hey, we don't have room for you over here. It's like Josh Jackson, let's move him to safety. Rasul Douglas, let's just move him to safety. If these guys haven't played at a position, Yash Diamond has never played right tackle, we don't know how valuable he is. And yeah, Mark makes another really good point too. It was kind of curious to me why the Packers didn't go with Nyman in the playoffs. Maybe they wanted the experience of Dennis Kelly having started so many games for Tennessee in the past and having Billy Turner out there at any position, let alone out of position. And again, I don't think that's why they lost against the 49ers, but Turner's just too valuable. If he's valuable enough that you picked him to win the biggest game of your season, to not derail your season, the Packers obviously value him. I think if we're reading the tea leaves here, I think Green Bay is very likely going to keep the Big Tree. I think his Twitter handle is Big Tree, isn't it? Something like that.
Not sure.
I think he stays. I think Billy Turner stays in Green Bay. They do what they want to do with him. That's fine. But I think he's very likely he's back. I'm not letting him go. I'm keeping him.
As I mentioned, I was on the fence with this one, and you guys have me rethinking this. But you have the Green Bay Packers moving on from Billy Turner. There's going to have to be difficult decisions made this offseason, and for me, this is one of them. I mean, you guys brought up great points on why to keep him, and I will add this caveat. Ultimately, it depends on how they view Yash, as well as Jenkins as being a future at the right tackle position. And if that's the case, I think this is one of those moves you make for those cap savings. I know it's not a huge amount, but this offseason is going to be about pinching pennies. And on top of that, if there's one position that we know or that Brian Gutekunst and this Packers team has shown us that they can find and address, it's the offensive line. So I have confidence in them being able to build back up that depth. I'm not saying they would go out and, you know, they absolutely could address offensive tackle in round one. But even if they don't and they rely on Yash, for example, to start the season, I do have confidence that they'll be able to find someone to at least have off the bench to be a backup in that regard. So that rounds out our list here of eight Packers players. And I've been keeping track as we went through, and I went with what the majority voted for. So of the players that we as collectively decided to cut, Cobb, Z, Crosby, and Mercedes Lewis, we, as general managers of the Green Bay Packers, which lucky for you guys, we are not, just saved them $26.9 million in cap space. This does not include any potential restructures or extensions for Amos, Turner, Preston, or Dean Lowry. So just based on cuts, about $27 million in cap space we save. So there you go, guys.
We're halfway there.
Not too bad. You got to chip away at it somehow. And I wasn't really going with the dollar figures for me. That was part of the equation. But a lot of it was trying to keep this team intact because I'm a selfish Packers fan who's spoiled and entitled, and I want this team in the playoffs again next year.
Absolutely. So as we do to finish things out here, we'll go around the horn. As I mentioned before we started, I have these articles up at Dairyland Express. You can find everything there, as well as my work at Cheesehead TV and YouTube channel. Just search my name, Paul Brettel, B-R-E-T-L. Mark, what's going on at Packer Report?
I have a story up this week that's up right after the Super Bowl. I did a story saying the reason the Rams won was their stars played like stars. And that, you know, especially on the final drives, Cooper Kupp took over, Aaron Donald took over. And I compared it to, unfortunately, why the Green Bay Packers didn't win the Super Bowl. Their stars, Rashawn Gary did. Rashawn Gary, who was a rising star, made a play that should have won the game for the Packers when he made the stop on fourth and one. But the MVP didn't play like an MVP. The offense didn't do anything really after that first drive. So you need your stars to step up. And I've also brought up the fact that when the Packers did win the Super Bowls, their last two anyway, the stars stepped up. Rodgers played like an MVP in that Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl MVP, threw three touchdowns. Clay Matthews, who was their star on defense, made the big play when he forced the fumble. Then going back to the previous Super Bowl, with Brett Favre played like a star. He didn't throw an interception in a game, which was, for him, that's amazing. And Reggie White had three sacks in the game. It's when New England was trying to come back. Boom, no, he was all over Bledsoe. So stars have to shine, basically. And the Packers stars the last couple of years haven't done that. And that's why they got eliminated. And then coming up later today, kind of what we just talked about. I didn't do a cut or keep. I mentioned four players that we just said that the Packers could cut and save it half their cap space. And we all agreed that worked out pretty well.
And Jason, Game On Wisconsin, Quick Slants Podcast. What do we got coming up, or that's just happened?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be a Monday show, and so whatever happens between now and then, the news of the day, or I'll pick a topic to talk about based on what the questions or feedback are from the fan base. But I'll to kind of talk about what Mark said. You know, the other thing was Aaron Donald sprinted on the field for that last series. Like, he wanted to be out there. He wanted the game on the line. You want your stars to want to be out there. And I look at the Packers, and they got good players, but I feel like in crunch time, they're thinking and overthinking. And are they loose? Are they ready? Do they want the moment? And it just seems like that's the thing. Are you composed? Are you ready to take it? Are you confident? Do you want the ball? Do you want to be the dude who's making the final play? And I think there's a lot to be said about your stars playing well, and it's been talked about a bunch. So that's what's going on with me over at the Quick Slants Podcast, and I guess we'll be back with more weather next week. I guess we'll see how things are at the beach and how things are in Phoenix next week after this cold front moves out. 60 degrees, brr.
Yes, we're all waiting to hear what the Phoenix weather is, Jason.
What do you
got? Some great stuff today, guys. I really enjoyed it. Of course, Back Day Podcast 7 days a week. Mark, Jason, and myself, we will be back next Thursday. And as the great Jason Perrone says, until next time, friends, take care, stay safe, and as always, Go Pack, go.